We're going to take a little break from our series we've been doing on the Right Now Media. What have we been doing? What's it been called? Power to Change, yeah. And so we'll take a break and we'll finish that next week. I wanted to talk about something called contagious gratitude just for a few moments this morning. Contagious gratitude. We're going to look at Luke 7. And we'll just look at two verses to begin. This took place during the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. We find in Luke's gospel. And it goes something like this. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. This is God's word. This scene was portrayed by Sir Peter Paul Rubens, this painting from 1618, obviously painted in the spirit of his times, but begins to help us imagine what took place in this room during an ordinary meal, as they would have been reclined, actually, with their feet reclined outward, and this woman of ill repute began to weep and wipe Jesus' feet with the hair of her head, kissing his feet and anointing it with a supremely expensive sacrifice of an alabaster flask of ointment worth, in today's money, tens of thousands and thousands of dollars. I wanted to use this passage and look at it for just a moment to think about a culture of contagious gratitude. And I think our children, in so many ways, have really led the way, especially this morning, for us to begin to think about how important this is. We know that as this was taking place, Simon the Pharisee could not believe that this woman was even allowed into Jesus' presence, and especially the amount of money that this had cost to be wasted on the feet of a teacher. And Jesus begins to tell a story of two men who had debt, one just a little bit, one an astronomical amount, and both were forgiven of their debt. And Jesus asked them a question, now which of them will love him more? And the Pharisee said, well, the one who had the bigger debt, of course. Do you see this woman, Jesus asked, I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. What an extraordinary real-life example of one who is exhibiting a contagious gratitude in her life to the person of Jesus. What is going on here? She did not do this in order to be forgiven, although we hear in a pronouncement of that shortly afterwards. But there's something that she experienced in her life from Jesus that so moved her with an infectious, contagious gratitude without any care of all the snickering and all the words that will be shared about her, this kind of woman, what is she doing here? She doesn't belong. She's a sinner. And here she is weeping and sacrificially anointing Jesus' feet with her own hair. I believe all of us are generally pretty grateful for the things that we have and the opportunities, but human nature has it that no matter how wonderful things are in our lives, we often very much get used to things, and from there we begin to expect those things that were once received as extraordinary gifts. When my children were growing up, it was such a joy. Oh, they're still growing up. but as they were even younger, one of the joys for myself, partly because I do enjoy a good hearty breakfast in the morning, is to prepare something beyond just a bowl of milk and cereal in the morning. If you feed your kids that, no judgment here. It's all good. I love my Cinnamon Toast Crunch. But one of the first times I remember doing that for our children, they were so happy. Daddy, is this a restaurant? This is awesome. Thank you for making this breakfast so early in the morning. They're extremely grateful. And just, wow, what kind of privilege it is to be called their dad. And I was so touched and moved. Wow, this is fantastic. This is the joys of parenting and fatherhood. Well, fast forward a couple years later, and some of you have seen on my Facebook page, Friday morning I wake up, Ella's order, fluffy egg, half bagel, cream cheese, oh, we're out. You can do butter. Shakey is their term for a breakfast shake that I make in the morning, and one bacon. Jonathan's order, Johnny Boy's, bagel, no cream cheese, we ran out, sorry. Butter, a pancake, egg, bacon, orange juice, and James, panini. Whoa, bacon, and then a shakey. My goodness, the orders were put in the night before. I did not even know it. And even then, there were a few complaints about how I did not prepare exactly how they liked it, or the fluffiness was not there as much as they would desire. And that, no, but with joy, I still did it, right? And yes, I spoil my kids, and so do you. So don't judge me. But is that not truly the human nature, that things that we once received with such joy and privilege and thanksgiving, you're going to make breakfast for me? Wow! And we get used to it, and we begin to expect it, and demand it, and feel entitled, and we can't muster up those feelings of gratitude because we feel that we deserve it. And I believe that that is the challenge of the human heart and our nature, and why we're always looking for greater exploits and accomplishments and things that can bring us that feeling of gratitude and awe and beauty in life. But human nature has it. We always get used to things. And when that happens, it's very hard to be grateful. But I believe as we think about what this woman went through, and as we head into the holiday season, I believe that the one thing that we can never ultimately get used to is the self-giving love of God found in the person of Jesus. That is the only experience that continues to confound us, confuse us, break us, and move us to genuine gratitude. And this is what we see in this lady who knew she did not deserve to be in the presence of this rabbi, this teacher, the Son of God, Jesus. She knew it deep within. But she was so moved and touched by the love that she saw in the person of Jesus that you see this gratitude and worship and thanksgiving. And we see in our passage, starting in verse 44, we'll put it up on the screen, then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered house, you gave me no water for my feet. She has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss from the time I came in. She has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment." I believe that when we once again are reminded of the extraordinary, undeserved love of God, his self-giving love for people like you and I who have not earned it and certainly do not deserve it. When we're reminded of that, and once we experience again in our lives, I believe that a contagious gratitude will flow out of our hearts. That is the one thing in this world and in this life that we cannot get used to. Everything else we get used to and we can't really be that grateful for. But it is an encounter with the love of God in Jesus Christ, ultimately shown on the Roman cross, that I believe allows us to truly live a life transformed because of a gratitude that we have that we did not deserve and yet has been poured out for you and I. And I believe that a church that has a culture of contagious gratitude will be unstoppable. A gratitude that flows out of a fresh daily encounter with the love of God found in his son, Jesus. When we experience that, as we are reminded of in just a few moments when we approach the table of his self-giving love for you and I, verse 47, Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." It is when we realize it is a kind of love that is undeserving and yet poured upon us, a response of contagious gratitude and love will pour out of our lives. And thank you, children, for showing that to us this morning. I've been reading a book that's starting to wreck me by Scott McKnight, called A Church Called Tov, which is a Hebrew word for good or goodness. Forming a goodness culture that resists abuses of power and promotes healing. After reading a few pages of this, I decided this is the next book that we're going to do with all of our key leaders. And he writes this to remind us that it is not your ministry offerings of programs and studies and children's ministries that ultimately define your church, but it is the culture of your church that speaks loudest in what people experience. Not about programming, not about what you can offer the community, but it is the culture that a church embodies that people, when they come encounter with your church community, will feel and experience. A Christ-like church culture is the ultimate goal and aspiration. Never underestimate, he says, the transformative power of culture. Your church is its culture, and that culture is your church. And I believe that we, as a church community, when we can re-encounter God's love in Jesus, it will change us. Scott McKnight says this: "A spirit-formed Christ-like culture nurtures truth, offers healing for the wounded, seeks opportunities to show redemptive grace and love, focuses on serving others, and looks for ways to establish justice in the daily paths of life." And he ends, "A Christ-like church culture always has its eyes on people, because the mission of the church is all about God's redemptive love for people." This is going to be a good book study with our key leaders. What does it look like? And I'll end with this. What does it look like when we once again experience God's self-giving love in the person of Jesus? Just a few thoughts as we end our time. We will ad nauseum be grateful and thankful, and we will voice it. We're thankful for what Todd Foster has been doing for so many years. Thank you, Todd. A community that understands God's love in Jesus will spew out not poison and vitriol and hatred and anger, but words of thanksgiving. Thank you to its leaders, to its pastors, to its fellow congregants, to the young, to the old. Thank you. It will flow out of our lives. Did you say thank you today to the Lord, to your spouse, to your kids? As you walked in, you were greeted with wonderful signs. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. When we aren't being thankful and saying it with our lips out loud that our loved ones can hear, we have forgotten the love of God in our lives. For if this woman is us, and she is, undeserved, yes, far from God, yes, and yet Jesus poured out his love for her, this contagious gratitude and thanksgiving will flow. Secondly, when things are not the way you're used to, we are flexible with change and differences. And when we cannot flex, when we cannot adapt, when we cannot change, because this is not what my preference is, we have lost the contagious gratitude that is so needed. Older we get, the older I get, this is harder and harder and harder. Are we flexible with change and differences? Are we aware of God's goodness all around in the beauty of the weather? I'm so proud of my son, James. Yes, what are you thankful for? Everything, because we see the goodness of God every day. Even if life is very challenging, we see the goodness of God all around us. Do you see it? Are you grateful? Are you thankful? Does it flow out? Thank you, my God, for your goodness. Is there joyful service and ministry? You can't help yourself. How can I get involved? How could I serve? I've received so much love from God. I can't contain myself. What can I do? How can I get involved? How can I roll up my sleeves? I can't help it. I just cannot sit here. That is what we see in this woman. She could not just, thank you, Jesus. No, she went crazy. She broke open that alabaster jar. And she, without any concern or care what others thought, began to love and show gratitude and worship Jesus. Generosity, yes, for sure. Jessica kind of hit that in the announcement. And when we hurt others, we are very quick to say, I'm so sorry. This should be a common phrase, because whether we realize it or not, we make dumb mistakes. We say things that are unnecessary and not helpful out of our emotion, out of our anger, out of our frustration. If we are not apologizing, and when was the last time that we, I'm so sorry for how that might have hurt you or how that might have impacted you. I lost my temper. I'm sorry. And for us to quickly offer our forgiveness as well. I pray that as we move forward, not only into the holiday season, but as we think about the gift of Jesus coming this Advent season and Christmas, that we would have a personal re-encounter with God's extraordinary self-giving love that would so change not only your heart, but reshape the culture of Trinity Covenant Church, that with contagious thanksgiving and gratitude, we would be a kind of church that responds to God's self-giving, selfless love. And as we do that, we will be used by God in our time, in our generation, as we pursue Him and His passion for people. As you prepare your hearts to approach the table in communion, may we have an opportunity to step into the shoes of this woman who, with unabashed, unashamed love and gratitude for the love that she experienced from Jesus. I pray that this kind of soulful gratitude would permeate every aspect of your lives and families and Trinity Covenant Church, that it would reshape the culture of our church of true contagious gratitude as we honor, as we love, as we serve one another. I believe a church that can incarnate and demonstrate this kind of culture of gratitude will be unstoppable for the kingdom of God. This is my prayer and heart for myself, my family, and for our greater church family here at Trinity. Contagious gratitude. Because the only thing that allows genuine gratitude to continually flow is an experience of God's love in the person of Jesus. May we meet Him today. Let's pray. Lord, we invite your presence here because we confess that our hearts get used to the things that once so blew us away. We are so grateful, we're so appreciative, we're so thankful, and yet so much of that joy has leaked out of our lives with the challenges of life, with the reality of the human heart that continually gets used to things. And therefore, the joy and gratitude leak out. But I pray, Father, as we head towards the end of this year, together with both young and old in our congregation, would you so move our hearts today to experience and know and sense your incredible love that cleanses us of our sin. For you are a God of second, third, fourth, and fifth chances in our lives. I pray that as we approach your table in just a few moments, that you would once again remind us of this, and may our hearts be blown away by this kind of love that we can't help but to respond with contagious gratitude that forms a new culture in our families and in this church family. So we give you thanks. Come, Holy Spirit, help us to encounter you once again. Amen. For all of us,